Good morning, North Point. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for inviting me into your home, into your living room, into your coffee shop. Wherever you're listening today, wherever you're watching, I want to say thank you for joining in as we unpack God's word together. I want to thank Pastor Steve and the other elders for inviting me to speak this morning on a topic that is certainly very passionate to my heart. Now, as you watched that video, it was pretty silly, pretty fun. But it really clearly paints a picture of someone going places. See, this is going to connect with something Pastor Steve taught us 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago today, Pastor Steve cast a vision for North Point Church. He cast a vision that our focus should be on evangelism and discipleship. Those two things, evangelism and discipleship, both are super important. And over the past 2 weeks, Pastor Steve has gone through a series called Contagious, where we've really looked at evangelism and our call as believers to go and to tell the good news, to share the story of Jesus Christ and what he has done in our life. He has talked about this idea so passionately, and I love how God has dovetailed that message series to a brand new series that we're starting today called Going Places. It's 2 weeks where we're going to dive into the other side. We're going to dive into discipleship and learn what that means for our lives. Pastor Steve alluded to this very concept a few weeks ago when he was teaching out of the book of Philippians chapter 1. And he said this, "I am certain that God, who began the good work within you," evangelism, "will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." The passage continues in verse 9. "I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding." The idea that we're going to continue the work that God started, that we're going to keep on growing, that is discipleship. But it starts with beginning the good work in us. It starts on evangelism. That idea that we have come to a point where we say yes to Jesus. Maybe you haven't found yourself there yet. You need to know that there is a God who loves you. He loves you so much that he is willing to meet you in your brokenness, in your mistakes, in the ways you've stumbled. And he stands ready to love you and asks you to call him forgiver and leader. Maybe you're at that point where you're saying yes. The point where mistakes and failures become forgiveness. If that's you, I want to invite you to text the word surrender to 97000. We will help you take your next steps toward that yes. That yes that is so important. And that's where we come to discipleship. Because evangelism is everything before the yes, and discipleship is everything after the yes. In John chapter 3, Jesus talks about the idea of being born again. The idea that we are dead to our old selves. We've passed away and we are a new creation. We are born again in such a way that says, yes, God, I am ready for the journey you have for me. But discipleship is about that journey. You see, though we are born again, we don't stay newborns. We don't stay in that place where we've just said yes. Because we don't. It's not a checkbox, right? It's not a, yep, done, one and done, I'm good. Now I can live the rest of my life the way I want to because I've said yes. No, there's so much more than that. You see, God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. And so now we're here today to talk about the other side of the yes. The other side of the yes is discipleship, evangelism, and discipleship. What's interesting is that for both those words, there is both a personal action and a relational action. In evangelism, there's a personal need to say yes, and there's a relational need to tell others about yes. There's a personal need to lay and surrender our God, our lives to Christ, and there's a relational need to share the good news of what Jesus is offering. And on the discipleship end, there is something equally as important. Robbie Gallaty says, I love this quote, "We tell people what they're saved from, we don't focus on what they're saved for." That there's an other side to the yes. And in discipleship, we have a responsibility for us to become a disciple of Jesus and a responsibility to make other disciples. And that leads us to our key verse for this series. It's found in Hebrews chapter 6 in the first part of verse 1. It says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Go on. We're going places. And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to unpack what that means. What does it mean to go on and become mature in our understanding? Well, let's dive a little bit into Scripture, where we learn that the early church leaders, the early church believers, found those two things to be important, evangelism and discipleship. They clearly knew what it meant to go out and to share the good news. And in the first century, you see numbers growing and geography of churches planted. It's incredible to see all that God is doing in and through those early believers. But they didn't just leave it at yes. They didn't just leave it at God saying, I'm here for you. They also understood about discipleship. We see one of the early church leaders, the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church in Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about going from drinking milk to something stronger. He talks about being young in Christ to something deeper. And he goes on to say, you know what? There was this argument in the church about, well, am I going to follow Paul? Am I going to follow this guy Apollos? He says, it doesn't matter who's pouring into you because it's God who's helping us to grow. It's a powerful idea. And what's interesting is that we see another book, the book of Hebrews, that same thing talked about. And that's where we're going to dive into the text today. What's interesting is we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. We don't know the author, but many scholars believe it was actually Apollos. Some people believe Paul, but more people think it's Apollos. And so this idea here is that many leaders talked about this idea of discipleship. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5, which is the critical text we're going to be looking at today. It's going to be the end of chapter 5, the beginning of chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in chapter 5, verse 12, and it says this, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." Continues right into chapter 6. "So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds, placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding." We will move forward to further understanding. And that's what discipleship is. Moving forward in our faith, becoming more mature in Christ. Now, that's a big concept, right? Okay, moving forward, I get that. How do I do that? I mean, that seems like a really big thing, the idea of maturity in Christ. Well, this is how you do it. It's simple. One step at a time. One step at a time, we're going to be going places. I have with me today several props. Ideas to be able to show us what it means to go one step at a time. I want you to join me. Here we have step one, right? Many of us, almost all of us, started in this place, almost started in a stroller like this. And if you said yes to Christ, you may find yourself here. It's a good place to be. You've got someone taking care of you. You've got someone pushing you, helping you to go places, probably still drinking milk. And that's okay. It's a good place to be. Because here you're going to learn about the safety of someone who loves you. But we don't stay here. No, we stay to the point of where God has us. And when it's time for our next step, we move on. Because we come to a point where we get out of the stroller, where we start to take our first steps. We go from just listening to someone else teach, maybe on a Sunday morning, hearing somebody else talk about their faith, somebody else who's moving us along to our first steps. We begin to step out. We stumble. We may fall. But we're learning. We're hearing. Maybe this is the point where you're starting to read devotionals. You're not yet at the point of being in the Bible because you're hearing other people. It's like baby food, something that someone else has already mushed up. That's what reading a devotional is somebody else's interpretation of God's word. But this is a good place. It's because when you're learning to walk, it's how to use your legs. It's a great place to be. But we don't stay there. No, we move. We move to a new place. And I got to say, Pastor Steve, when you asked me to preach this morning, I never thought I'd find myself on a Hello Kitty bike. But this is a good place too. You see, this bike, it may be small. It's got training wheels. But here's where we learn to balance. Here's where we learn the skill of when to use a brake. We may not be able to go very fast, but we're faster than the baby walker because we're learning things here. We're learning in our walk with Christ how to open up God's word. We're learning the skill of when to pray and how to pray. We're learning the basics of Jesus and how to learn how to serve. Maybe we go out and we start to serve in the church. We're starting to learn about who God made us to be, the unique way that he built our blueprint, our DNA, because this is where we're beginning to learn the stages of walking with Christ. We're going further, but we're not yet full speed. Because we don't stay on a Hello Kitty bike. We don't stay with training wheels. No, there's time to go places and move on. Because what we learned on the training wheels, what we learned on the Hello Kitty bike, we find ourselves now at a big boy bike. We find ourselves here, gripping the wheels, no longer have training wheels. But we've learned to balance. We've learned how to use the brakes. If you're walking with Christ, you've learned about how to open God's word. You've learned how to pedal and to find that traction in finding God's spirit in worship. You've learned how to share your faith. You've learned about your spiritual gifts, and you're going further and faster than you ever could on the Hello Kitty bike. You're going further and faster in your walk with God, because here is where you are moving at full speed. It's a powerful thing. But unfortunately, there are times when we fall. Just like when we were at the baby stroller, there's times we stumble. And maybe we get hurt. And we find ourselves in the next phase. Right here. Right here. Maybe we fell. Maybe we got hurt. Maybe our knee is bandaged up. And it's tempting to stay seated. It's tempting to say, you know what, I'm just going to live here. But no, this wheelchair has wheels. It's for going places, maybe a little slower, maybe a little more tentative. But if you're hurt, if you've fallen down, God's not done with you yet. There's still places to go. There's still new things for God for you. And for some of us, we're at that point of life, we feel like we've slowed down. We feel like maybe it's time to sit down for good. But my friends, there are still places to go. There's still places that God wants to reveal for you. New places for you to serve, new people for you to pour into. You see, every single one of these stages has one thing in common. They're for going places. Because if you're not dead, then God's not finished. There's places for us to go. And it's okay to be in any one of these, but it's not okay to just stay there. Because we're going places. And that is exactly what God wants to teach us today. What does it mean to go places? What does it mean as a disciple of Jesus Christ to go from being in a stroller, pushed by someone else, to being able to go further and faster? Now, you may remember when you were going through this progression as a child, right? I mean, there was the point you're in the stroller and mom and dad gave you the opportunity to get up and use your legs, or maybe you moved on to your Hello Kitty bike, right? And you looked at it and it's kind of scary. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But you eventually got to that point and you began to pedal and it was wobbly and you didn't quite know, but wait a minute, this thing called balance, and it's kind of exciting. And I can go further on my Hello Kitty bike than I could in that baby walker. And now I'm comfortable there. I've learned what it means to have training wheels. I've figured this balance thing out. That bike is scary. That big bike, it doesn't have training wheels. It's got really big wheels. It's got 15 gears. I didn't have that on my Hello Kitty bike. It's scary. But you get to the point where the excitement overcomes the scary and you begin to go further and faster. The same is true with our walk with Christ. There's that point of being scary, the point of saying, I want to stay here. And there's the point of the excitement. My friends, the same is true in our walk with God. And I would ask you, where are you at? Have you decided to stop in one of these places? Because it's a little too scary to take your next step. It's a little too scary to think about being mature in Christ. It's a little too scary to think about what God might have for you. You see, for many of us, that idea of discipleship is a no-go. We're good to stop where we are because, after all, isn't salvation enough? Right? I mean, isn't salvation sufficient for everything we need? The answer is yes and no. Right? Theologically, we know that salvation is all that we need because now we are found complete and holy in Jesus Christ. We are good to get into heaven. Salvation is enough. God loves us just where we are. He meets us just where we are. But he loves us too much to leave us that way. He loves us too much because he wants more for us. You may remember back in middle school, maybe I'm dating myself, that we wrote little notes. It says, do you like me? Check yes or no. You remember that? And so we would get all a flutter, right? And we would check yes and we'd give him back. Was that the end of the relationship? No. There was more. You see, Jesus doesn't want a do you like me? Check yes or no. He's not okay with just stopping at yes. He wants more for us. He wants a relationship. He wants to take us someplace. And that's why we go into discipleship. That's why we say yes, both to our personal responsibility and our responsibility to grow others. You see, we see in the Bible over and over and over again our responsibility for relationship. You see, how do we know that? Well, Jesus said so, right? We've heard the Great Commission over and over again. Go into all the world, make disciples. Jesus said we should do it. I mean, Paul and Apollos said we should do it, right? We should go from having infants with milk to maturity and understanding. I mean, it's the model Jesus used, right? He had disciples. We hear about that all the time. And so we know we're supposed to. But there's knowing and there's doing. There's knowing something you're supposed to do, and there's actually taking the step to doing it. And I think one of the reasons that we stay on this side of that step is that we know we're supposed to, and maybe that's for other people, but what's in it for me? What is it that I'm going to get out of discipleship? Yes, there's the obedience. Yes, there is the option to be able to grow in Christ. But my friends, there is more. And that's because discipleship is transformation. Discipleship is about becoming something different. And to paraphrase Robbie Gallaty, what we heard earlier is, instead of thinking about what we've been saved from, what about what we've saved for? Because God has a vision for your future. He's not done yet. He wants you to go places with him. Discipleship is transformation. And here's the scary thing. If you're being transformed, people notice. If you're being transformed, it matters. But if you're not being transformed, people notice. And if you're not being transformed, it matters. People around you are looking at this yes, and they're wondering, what's different? Transformation is what matters. Transformation is what Christ saved us for, because he loves us and he wants something new for us. This is found in one of my favorite scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, here's the word, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Transformation. You see, it's not just what God has for me, but it's knowing God's will. If we surveyed 100 people in our church and found out what is the most frequent prayer, it's probably going to be, I want to know God's will for me. I want to know what God's will for this relationship is, or for my job, or for my finances. I want to know God's will for me. My friends, that is found in transformation. That is found in discipleship. I want better understanding. I want to know what it is that God sees when he looks at me. That's found in discipleship because that's found in transformation. In theology circles, there's this word called eschaton. It means what is to come. It's the end game. And so we talk about going places. We should think, okay, well, if I'm going places, where am I going? Well, the end game is eschaton. It is the perfection that Christ has planned for us. Not that we are perfect today, but we are growing more and more like Jesus Christ. We are growing more and more to be like God. Eschaton is where we're going. We're not going to do it in one step. We're going to do it in many steps. Christ has something for us. That is discipleship. So there's many forms of discipleship. We don't have time to go into all of it today. There's self-discipleship. There's getting into the Word of God. But today and for the rest of our time together, we're going to dive into one aspect of discipleship, and that's relationship. Relational discipleship. A friend of mine recently said, isn't that the most important thing? The idea that I have a responsibility for both my own discipleship and the discipleship of others. See, we see that over and over and over again in God's word. We see this modeled through what Jesus did, relational discipleship. You see, we hear about Jesus had disciples, but when you look in the word and you see these big sermons, right? Sermon on the Mount, there's 5,000 people, there's 3,000 people. If you look into scripture, that's actually the minority of Jesus's time. You see, he spent more time with the smaller crowds, the 120, but he spent his most time with his closest 12, especially his closest three, Peter, James, and John, where he poured into them. He said, let me teach you about life. Walk with me. Yes, there was teaching in large crowds, but most of Jesus' ministry was about that small, intimate discipleship. You see, Jesus discipled others so they could disciple others. See, hear that? Jesus discipled others so they could disciple others. And we see that throughout history. Because when Jesus discipled others who discipled others who discipled others, that leads to us. Because somebody poured into our life. Somebody told us about the good news of Jesus Christ. Discipleship leads to discipleship. And we see that in the first days of the church, in the early first century. We see leaders like Paul. We've talked about him this morning. You see, Paul was famous for going out, to going to new places, sharing the gospel, spreading the new word. And he would stay and he would build up the church and then he would move on. And you see, if that was enough, then we would see Paul just moving on and not ever coming back. But over and over and over again in scripture, you see Paul coming back. And most of the New Testament is actually Paul writing letters back to those churches. And what is that? That's discipleship. That's him saying, let me teach you something new. Let me tell you about what's going on in my life. Let me share a truth that I've learned with Jesus. That's discipleship. We see it happening over and over and over again. And we see it very specifically in 1 Corinthians 11:1. We see Paul talking to people. We say, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Now, when I read that, I'm going to be honest, I get a little intimidated. I get intimidated when I hear Paul say, you should imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I'm like, ooh, do I want anyone to imitate me? I don't know about that because I don't have it all together. I haven't found perfection and I don't have all the answers. And maybe you're in the same place. But here's the thing. People don't need to see you in your perfection. They need to see you in your process. They don't need to see you being perfect. They need to see you walking in faith and stumbling and learning. People need to be able to see the real you that's walking with Jesus Christ. It's not about perfection. When Paul said, I want you to imitate me as I imitate Christ, he's saying, there's a process to this. I'm still growing. I'm not done yet, but I want you to watch how I walk. And I want you to chase Christ the way I'm chasing Christ. That's relational discipleship. That's the idea that Paul is modeling for us. And so when you think about relational discipleship, there's three different kinds. And I want to challenge you today to think about, do you have all three of these kinds of discipleship relationships in your life? We look in the Word of God in the New Testament and we see three different kinds. The first is a Paul kind of relationship. the Paul kind of relationship. It's somebody who's pouring into us, just as we see Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing letters and encouraging and admonishing. We see Paul pouring in. Do you have a Paul kind of relationship? Somebody who's pouring into your life? Somebody who's telling the story of their faith, is being real, is teaching you about maturity, teaching you about things that you need to know about? It's a Paul kind of relationship. That's the first kind of relational discipleship. But there's a second, and that is a Barnabas relationship. We see in the book of Acts and in other epistles, we see Barnabas walking alongside the Apostle Paul. Somebody who is there to encourage him. Somebody who's there to help him, to go on journeys with him. Somebody who's walking beside him, helping him to be accountable to his faith. Do you have a Barnabas kind of relationship? That person who can walk beside you? And the third kind of relationship is a Timothy relationship. Somebody who's a little bit younger in their faith. Somebody who's still a little bit immature in their faith. Somebody that you're pouring into. Someone that you're telling your story. Someone that you're letting to see your failures, your stumbles. Letting them see how you pray, how you worship. Maybe there's somebody who's a little bit more immature in their faith. Maybe they're still drinking milk. And your responsibility is to put your arm around them and to say, come on, let me show you what God's teaching me. It's not about perfection. It's about process. What about you? Do you have a Paul? Do you have a Barnabas? Do you have a Timothy? You see, there's lots of different ways that we see those relationships played out. But a few minutes ago, we went through these six metaphors, everything from a stroller to a walker. And here's the interesting thing. Every single one of these is inherently relational. When we're in a walker, we're dependent on somebody pushing us, taking us places, because we're not yet ready to take our steps. We need someone who can take us to places. We need someone to bring us the milk, and that's a good place to be. But we don't stay there. We get out of the stroller and we get into that baby walker and we're learning to stretch our legs. We're learning what it means to balance, and there's somebody there, right? There's somebody watching us. There's someone to catch us when we fall. There's somebody who's with us and looking out for us. And then you move on to the Hello Kitty bike, those training wheels. And you're not doing that by yourself, right? There's somebody right beside you. They may be holding on to the back. They're encouraging you. They're helping you. They're not doing it for you, but they're teaching you how to do it for yourself. And then you move on to the big bike, right? Maybe you have somebody riding alongside you. Maybe the first time you get on there, there's still that person holding on to the back, helping you have balance until they let go, and you're riding on your own. But that's not the end of their relationship, right? Maybe they get on their bike and they start to ride with you. Maybe the two of you are going to go farther than you ever thought you could possibly be. And then you fall and you hurt your leg. Now you're in the wheelchair. And there's someone there helping you, encouraging you, wrapping up your knee with that ACE bandage. And they're pushing you along. You may not be moving as fast now, but you're still moving. You're still going places together. And even when you may find yourself a little older, you find yourself maybe a little more tired, you're pushing that walker, there's still someone there. Someone to take care of you. Someone to challenge you. Someone to help you have food. Every single one of these is relational. And that's what discipleship is. Relationships. So what does that look like? What does that look like in my life? Well, maybe, like Deanna said earlier, it's time to get into a connect group. Time to go eat froyo with other people who like froyo. Maybe it's time to go for a hike. Maybe it's time to form a movie group. Maybe that's your next relationship. Maybe it's a time to get into a Bible study, a growth-based group, because you're ready to learn how to read the Bible. You're ready to learn how to get into the Word, to interpret the Word and apply it to your life. Maybe your next relationship is in your family. Maybe you're called to pour into your kids. In fact, not maybe, we are called to pour into our kids, to be a Paul to their Timothy, to challenge them in their faith, to teach them how to read Scripture. If you're a parent, you are already in a relational discipleship. You are already there pouring into someone. Maybe it's that one-on-one accountability partner you meet every Thursday for coffee. Maybe it's somebody that you need to walk alongside. Maybe it's a text group with your small group saying, guys, I'm struggling today. I need you to pray for me. That's what it looks like in our life. It's somebody with whom you can say, I'm not perfect, but I'm ready for my next step. I'm ready for the process of faith. A few months ago, I ran into something called the Developmental Relationship Framework. A developmental relationship framework, I learned in the context of school, but I immediately said, that's discipleship. That is what discipleship is. And in your Go Deeper this week, we've put the entire framework out. We don't have time to unpack it all right now, but I want to encourage you with your small group, with your family, maybe one-on-one, for you to open up the Go Deeper and to challenge yourself with this framework and say, does this describe the relationships I'm in? We've only got enough time to talk about the five big topics, but they are this: express care, show me that I matter to you. That's what a discipleship is all about. Express care. Show me that I matter to you, that one-on-one person who can pick up the phone, who can send a text, who can tag us on Facebook and say, hey, I'm thinking of you. That's what a discipler does. Second thing they do is to challenge growth. Push me to keep getting better. Don't do it for me. Challenge me to grow. Is somebody saying that to you today, one-on-one? Push me to keep getting better. The third thing is to provide support, because you're going to stumble. You're going to have to figure out what that looks like. You're going to need someone to pick me up. Help me to complete tasks, achieve goals, support me. The fourth, share power. Treat me with respect. Give me a say. Help me to walk on my own. Don't just walk beside me when I'm on a Hello Kitty bike, but teach me to ride. Give me the power to pedal on my own. Tell me that I can do it. Share the power. And the final one is this: expand possibilities. Connect me with other people and places that broaden my world. Introduce me to people who are facing the same struggles I am. Help me to know that the possibilities of my journey are further and deeper than I ever thought possible. I invite you to go back into go deeper today, this week, because the framework goes so much deeper than that, but it's based on these five things. And I would encourage you this week to go into those. They're powerful. They describe to us what a discipleship relationship should be about. So where do you find yourself today? Where do you find yourself as you are listening to this idea of evangelism and discipleship? Have you come to the point of saying yes? If you have, I rejoice with you. It's a wonderful place to be. If you're not sure of your next steps, type the word surrender, 97000. We will help you get from yes to the stroller. We will help you to get to that point where you are ready to drink milk. We will come beside you and we will push you along. But eventually, we're going to invite you to get out of the stroller. Find that discipleship relationship. You see, every single one of these models represents a stage in your walk with God. Where are you at? Are you in the stroller? Are you the walker? Are you riding a Hello Kitty bike? Are you riding your big boy bike? Are you in a wheelchair? Maybe you're pushing a walker. Wherever you find yourself, there is a next step for you. Maybe it's finding that Paul or that Barnabas or that Timothy. But I invite you today to ask God, God, reveal to me my next step. Because I want to be transformed. Because the people around me are watching, and I want to give you the glory for what you're doing in my life. I don't have it all together. I'm not perfect. I don't have all the answers. But God, teach me the process. And put people in my life that will help me. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your presence here this morning. We're thankful for your word and how it challenges us to go further, faster. Because God, you have an image of what you made us to be. You made us for a reason. You made us for a purpose, and God, we want to be closer to that. We're so thankful that you love us in our pain and in our brokenness and in our mistakes. We're so thankful that you've invited us, that you offer to be our forgiver and our leader. And we're thankful, God, that you call us to something further, faster. God, I pray for each one of us that you would reveal to us what our next step in discipleship looks like. Put people in our lives. Take us places. We love you, God, and we surrender to you. May it all be for your glory. Amen.